Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday to you. Welcoming our buddy Alvin Reed in from Donnybrook. And before we jump in with Alvin, let me just say something here. The reason we're having Alvin on outside of a think tank, in addition to the fact that we love Alvin, is that we really, truly do. I don't know if you guys notice this or appreciate it or believe it, but when we do politics, we really try to be fair and balanced. When I give my opinions, I give them unvarnished. I'm not a fan of Trump, so Trump people probably think that that's a bunch of crap and I'm very biased, but we all give our opinions. But when we talk politics, we either have a conservative and a liberal on together, or like Elam was on yesterday and Alvin's on today. And so we really, really try to be the most fair and equitable political show that you're going to listen to. Good to see you, my friend.
Oh, thank you, man.
Let's talk before we get into politics, a little bit of sports. You were talking about throwing out the first pitch, and I got to throw one out. Wheeler threw one out. I watched him throw. He wasn't nervous at all. I was nervous, but when I got on that mound and put my foot on the rubber, I don't know if I've ever been more nervous.
Okay, and it just turned out that like mine was on a Saturday night.
Oh,
and
then, so you had a big crowd.
Oh, you see, this is the old stadium, too.
Yeah.
And I was fine, literally fine. And then when I was standing on the mound, I said, like, you know, not necessarily this dirt, but, I mean, Bob Gibson pitched from
in
this
that spot.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And I just kind of thinking to myself, like, and he pitched when this place was full. And this place is full tonight.
Yeah.
So, oh, no bouncer, no squibber. I let a rocket go. And,
nice.
And Kerry Robinson.
Very good.
I was catching it.
Very
good. He did have to come out of his stance and snag it. And he had dust in his glove. A little bit,
and it popped. Know,
and it popped.
Nice.
And the crowd went, ooh.
Nice. Very nice.
So I actually have I got a photo of it
I
and all that.
It.
But yeah, like I said, it wasn't nervous, but all of a sudden, you know, that ball all of a sudden just had no weight when I threw it. It was just like it didn't weigh anything.
That's cool.
So anyway.
So I know you're a big sports guy, and it goes without saying with Wheeler. Wheels, I don't know if you noted the last comment we had on the stream, but I think it's very interesting, and I want to read it here. We were just talking about the Cardinals with Bernie Mikulas, and this person says, the thing about the Cardinals and the problem with the ball team is this. It doesn't matter. It's a game. A sport. These guys aren't building roads or connecting electrical lines or doing anything useful.
Except those games bring more money into downtown than literally anything else in downtown.
Actually, yes.
What else brings even 25,000 people downtown 81 times? And again, that's the low end, 21,000, right? Like, you know, it used to be 40,000 every night. It's a big business.
It's huge.
And therefore it matters. And you'll see it. You'll see it this year. So if the attendance is 2.5 million instead of 3.2 million, well, that's 700,000 people that didn't pay taxes on food or tickets, that didn't come down and pay for parking that didn't come downtown at all and put their business here, and the city will notice it. So, no, it's, I mean, you're right. Fans tend to over-prioritize it. I sent you the meme.
You did.
I sent a meme today where it's a guy looking in the mirror and saying, I will not let the performance of my baseball team affect my mood every day for the next 7 months, right? Like, people do that, but that team is a big deal for the city of St. Louis.
And, you know, I don't know where the responder is exactly calling from, but, I mean, for those of us, you know, St. Louis is a place where I know people my age, we played baseball, okay? I know people played soccer, and I know people played football, but the majority of us played baseball. And it's the one sport that I always tell people that, you know, like if the Cardinals, if the Yankees, if somebody called me up and said, like, hey, you have to manage tonight, I could do it. And I don't care what anybody says. We might manage a football game. You know what I'm saying? Stand there and look at the coordinators and all that. People talk about hockey like they know actually what the hell's going on. So like, oh, coach the team tonight. Tell them when to change, you know, players, all that. Nobody knows really know, but we know baseball. And I think that's why we gravitate toward baseball. Now, the Cardinals are our team. Are we spoiled with success with the Cardinals? Absolutely. And are we disappointed in how the last couple of years have gone? Absolutely. But at the same time, the emphasis that St. Louis puts on the Cardinals, there's no problem with that. We should be proud of that. You know, are we the best fans of baseball? Are the Dallas Cowboys America's team? No. Are we the best baseball fans in the major leagues? I would say no, only because that goes from place to place to place. I mean, you want to go to a game right now and you think the people are like insane about baseball, go to a game in Philadelphia. Okay? So, you know, but how we appreciate our baseball team is important. And like you said, economic development-wise, essential. But the fact that people love the Cardinals and want to talk about the Cardinals and talk about baseball and want to do it from February until October, that's a great thing.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
And by the way, just based on that philosophy, well, then nothing matters. Movies don't matter. Concerts don't matter.
Yeah, good point.
And all of them do. Now, do they matter as much as the attention that they draw? Probably not, but they're big revenue producers, and revenue is what drives most people's thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Good discussion. So sticking with downtown and taxes and people coming down, Mayor Jones to Mayor Spencer, guardedly optimistic, would you say?
Yeah. I mean, I said on the show last night, look, I'm not about that, you know, and if you won, somebody else lost, I'm not going to hate on you or ask you to fail because maybe I wanted the other person to win. That's fine. Now, obviously, whatever thoughts you had about Tashara winning the mayoral election were eliminated back during the primary because you just knew that that wasn't going to happen. So we'll see where we go from there. There have been some promises about, you know, North St. Louis. There have been some promises about a lot of things. I will say this. Regardless of what the situation was with SLDC, this whole Neil Richardson thing, look, you can replace him, but I would tell the new mayor that, like, hey, look, Neil Richardson got caught up in the cogs of this election, and I think that you're going, like I said, here's a bright, young black fella who, you know, you're going to cut loose from his job, and I think that he's going to be cut loose from his job because whatever was going on during this mayoral election. Mm. So just, I would tell her, think twice, but I think she's already thought that over.
Yeah. Right. Do you think that it's possible in the city of St. Louis for a mayor to both fill the potholes and move the city along in a progressive way vis-a-vis reparations or North City? Or do you think they need to really just focus on the infrastructure?
Well, you could do like the things that are kind of put in place in North City. Just make sure that the like business development center that is at Sumner High School, which is helping keep Sumner High School open, by the way. Make sure that the things like that are already established keep funded and keep going. Now, you know, I scoffed at the whole reparations thing a long time ago. That wasn't going to go anywhere. And if things like that go away, really nobody's going to miss them. But there are some things that are in place that need to be, you know, that structurally we're working. You know, the neighborhood programs that I don't know if they're reducing crime or not, but if you talk to James Clark at the Urban League and other people, they say like, no, this is boots on ground trying to stop, you know, shootings and murders before they happen and relocating people and, you know, just doing things like that. it seems to be working. So let's try to keep things in place like that.
Wheels, what do you think?
No, I don't think if there's anything working, keep it or feed it. Feed it and expand it, right? I mean, whatever's working is great. And I think the thing that we talk about a lot, but again, our conversation is a lot more about downtown because it's what we see. Mm-hmm. But downtown is still the engine that's going to drive paying for those things in the future. And if downtown continues to go backward, well, then where is the funding for all of those things going to be in 10 years? So there's got to be that dual track, right? There has to be the track that says, how do we do more? How do we make it safer so that people want to be downtown, so that businesses want to be downtown? How do we make the roads so that we're not going to wreck everybody's cars when they're coming to work downtown? How do you do that and the other stuff at the same time? And I think they work together, but they have to work together with the idea that we have to pay for things long term, so we need to generate revenue that's going to allow us to do
that.
And
we're about to lose revenue.
Right, and you're not going to have this special money that they have right now forever.
Right.
You got all the ARPA money, and you've got the Rams money, and you got, like, that's separate, I think, from what we're talking about.
Right, and then you're going to lose some federal funding a lot of different things, too.
Right.
So there'll be less money.
No, good
money.
Point. Yeah, good point.
There'll be less money. And you know, you mentioned that, like, the kind of progressive agenda, you know, things like that, like investment, like sound investment in things that are in, like, North City, that's not necessarily progressive. That's like, look, half the city, this has been stated by different, but look, half the city cannot get an F if you want the city to get an A.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, that's just, that can't work. So whatever is decided, you got to figure out something to, you know, like...
That is such a great point, and I'm a little bit ashamed I never thought of it in quite those terms, because so many people think of it as, well, we're doing these people a favor, here we are again, carrying them, but they're as much a part of the city as Rach is a part of the city.
Yeah, and that's just it. You just take, I always say, like, you know, when we talk on the show, like, take whatever the not the cause, but, you know, take whatever the individual thing is, take it out. So how do you address it? Case in point, the art student that got thrown off the campus at WashU or whatever, and, you know, was heavy Palestinian message. Well, just decide, take the Palestinian part out of it. Kid with art that someone feels is objectionable, how do you respond to that? Take the issue out, but how do you respond to that? Same thing.
What if it's MAGA?
Yeah, what's MAGA? What if it's this? Take the issue out of it. All right, is this how we want to handle the situation? All right, take race, take this out of psychology, sociology, take all that out of it. How do we get this part of the city to be like funding technically itself with a tax base and with people working and all that? Because that will help the city, the entire city.
So, Rach, your thoughts?
You know, those are the things that, yeah, I wish we could fix that tomorrow.
Makes no sense.
I mean, don't we need more people moving there? Wouldn't that be a great solution to the tax issue that Alvin just brought up?
Yeah, and if I...
And can't you incentivize people to do that? It's, well, like, if there's an abandoned building, like, make either tear it down or build something else.
There has to be.
There's a path there somewhere where we just don't take those paths.
We don't take those paths. I'm old enough to remember, and we talked about this on Donnybrook one time, about, you know, Lafayette Square. And
perfect example.
Somebody sent us a letter that said, like, you're wrong, Alvin. There was no public money put in that. And I said, I did not say that on the show. What I said was people were incentivized to say, like, okay, you can buy this property for a dime on a dollar, but you have to sign a promissory note to put at least like $30,000-$40,000 in it. Well, in the late 70s, $30,000-$40,000 was like some money. All right. So that's what you do. Say, like, hey, it's yours for a nominal fee. And here's the loan with low interest, but you have to, all right, put this into it. You have to bring it up to this level of standard. And then not only before, I think with Lafayette Square, before it was launched technically into individuals, they waited until like 3/4 of the properties on a block were committed to.
Yeah.
And that way it changed an entire block at a time.
Yeah.
Not just one house, all right, but if the whole block changed, then somebody comes along and says, like, well, if the whole block is okay, then maybe I could live here. Maybe I could, you know, now schools, all that, that's another problem. Yeah. But at least you're fixing things like one block at a time.
Incremental gains.
Incremental gains.
Tell us about Donnie Fest.
Oh, Donnie Blast.
Donnie Blast.
Donnie Blast, May 8th coming up. You know, we always have a
blast.
Sold
out?
Pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah. We got tickets for
got
you.
A few, few tickets.
Though. You know that.
A few
yeah.
tickets.
You know, I can take care of it. I know people.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you know Charlie Brennan.
No, pretty close. Pretty close, right. Close enough I want to pop you one every now and then. No, that's I'm kidding. But no, coming up on May 8th, and, you know, Sarah Finsky and Joe Holloman are, you know, they rotate weekly in place of Ray, but they're both going to be on stage.
Good.
So
I'm there this year, bro.
All right, so we have six people, so I won't have to talk as much.
And you went last year, Rach?
I did. It was very, very fun.
Right.
And highly recommend.
The drinks are cold and the food is pretty good.
And we're talking about how you and I have both sullied that rare,
yes,
rarefied
that,
stage.
Yes. I literally, when I'm in the green room, I think to myself, like, okay, right. Oh, what was the last concert you saw? I saw Gordon Lightfoot there.
Nice.
About 3 years ago, I think it was. And I've seen other shows there. And, you know, and I know this because, like, look for a list of people that actually were on the stage at Sheldon. Albert Einstein. People like this. And I'm like, here I am. Right.
You've done something right or they've done something wrong.
No, I was going to say, like, I don't know. Society has changed. Right.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Anytime.
Wheels got a stairway in you?
Sure. Let's do it. I got a couple different things we can do. Let's see, which one did I want to do first? All right, let's do this this golf one because it's Masters Week. Because this is one of my favorite things in the world is to troll my friends that love golf and just make fun of it, especially Masters Week, because they get so mad and they never realize that I'm messing with them.
Boy, they get worked up.
Golf people are really sensitive, and I'm like I was picking on some guys earlier. Like I don't know if you caught the stuff in advance of the Masters, but Rory McIlroy. And I think it was Morikawa. They were talking about how, well, we don't have to answer questions from the media. We just choose to. And if we walk away, that's fine. Like, okay, but you're still soft if you walk away after a bad round. You're still soft because other professional athletes have no choice. They have to do it. Just because it's not in the rules saying you have to do it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Right? I mean, and, you know, I think they get a little bit too in their feelings about that stuff. Like, look, it sucks. It sucks to lose. It sucks to perform poorly. It's the same for every athlete. But I'm watching 18-year-olds playing college basketball, and when they have a bad day, they still answer questions. You know? I mean, like, I get that. But what I like to do, though, is like, I should pull it up because it's probably a little bit too hard to get to. But yesterday, a couple of guys were talking about golf, and I'm like, here's golf. And I'm golfers, I'm exaggerating. I was doing this to troll my friends. I realize how difficult golf is. But you get up to the tee box, you tee up the ball, and then you take a couple fake swings, and then you flinch a couple times, and then you hit the ball, and then you take a leisurely walk to where that ball is, and then you eyeball it for a little bit, pick a new club, take three fake swings, a couple more flinches, and you hit the ball, and you take a leisurely walk back to the ball, and you just keep on repeating that. And then on the green, it's just, I love the routine. It's like, I'm going to walk around the green so I can scope it out. And then I'm going to squat like a catcher behind the ball and lean each way so I can see which way the blades of grass are leaning.
Boy, he's making people mad right now.
I know, man.
Michael Kelly just got in his Rivian.
And look.
I hope David Murray's not listening.
And again, this is what I do to my friends to troll them. I know it's a difficult game, and those guys are amazing at what they do. But it's kind of funny when you think about it.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Friday. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. It's clearing up out there. It's going to be a pretty night at the ballpark.
Nice.
Did you bring a jacket or a wrap?
I did bring a jacket.
Nice. We're all going to the game tonight. Rach is going with Kurt. My son Nick is taking me and Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Cats in the Cradle.
Yeah.
Look at him taking me places.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot to mention that Dave Murray's weather is sponsored by Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical.
And Dave's out today.
He's out, but we do have a live look if you'd like to hear that. Let me get it pulled up here.
Could not be with you live today, but I want to give you an update for the weather as we sail through the weekend. And primarily what we're looking at is a pretty quiet weather pattern, but the temperatures will be jumping up and down on us. We had that cold front come through yesterday, and that's why we were cooler today. And we're going to be kind of cold overnight. Clear skies, big bright moon out there. The full moon is Saturday night, known as the pink moon. But we're going down to 37 degrees. And in some of the outlying areas, there could be some spotty frost. I don't think it's a widespread frost situation, but certainly below average temperatures. The weekend continues to look great. Saturday, plenty of sunshine, though it is a cool day, a little bit below average, not by much, but 64 for the high. Obviously, it'd be a cold start in the morning on Saturday. Saturday night, partly cloudy skies. Should get a great look at that big, bright full moon, 47 degrees. Sunday, sunny. It's warmer. Pretty good jump in temperature. Sunday afternoon, 75 degrees. So we're kind of cool on Saturday. Warm, nice on Sunday. Just a slight chance of a couple of showers on Monday. There's another cold front coming through. And as a result, we are really looking at a fast pace in the atmosphere. And that's going to continue right through next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Again, enjoy that big, bright full moon. Talk to you on Monday.
Headlines, Rach.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Haven't talked about Brian Koberger in a while. Of course, he is the accused.
God, just hearing his name gives me chills.
Yeah, you could just see his blank stare.
Just see his blank stare.
Well, he is the alleged murderer in the Idaho college murders. But the words psychopath and sociopath have been banned from his trial.
Wow.
There was someone else. Maybe it was Nicholas Cruz. They were trying to say he had like no soul and all this stuff and calling him names during his trial too. I think I'm fine with banning stuff like that in the courtroom because they haven't been proven guilty yet, right? I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to be like, hey, we haven't proven you guilty, but you're a sociopath.
I would say that if you have a psychiatrist on the stand and they diagnose him as a psychopath, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
If it's just an attorney saying, this guy's a psychopath, then I would agree with you.
Yeah. Good point. When you have somebody with expertise using a clinical diagnosis, totally fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Otherwise, though, who's to stop anybody from saying anything?
Right.
Right. Yeah. This was a very sad story. It happened yesterday. A New York City sightseeing helicopter plunged into the Hudson River, killing 6 people, including a family and the pilot, even a child just before their 9th birthday. The cause of the crash is under investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board.
We had a plane crash again today.
Really?
It's crazy.
Yeah, the pilot of the helicopter was recently retired Navy SEAL.
Wow.
So obviously this is not someone who is inexperienced in doing things.
Yes.
Elon Musk has lowered Doge's projected savings from $1 trillion to $150 billion. That's quite the gap.
I say, what's that? Is that like 1/8 of what they said?
I mean, it's a significant reduction. We'll put it that way. His previous goal was in the trillions, and now he's saying, "Oh, we'll be able to do $150 billion." It doesn't seem like things are going so well for Elon.
And then, okay, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth because I have always, and certainly for as long as I've been on the air, said that the federal government is a big bloated octopus that yes. needs to be cut down.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they did it, I'm not sure if $150 billion, which is something that we would, you know, in a year just write checks to other countries for, was worth the human carnage of Americans, right? I don't believe, I've not heard a single case of fraud.
Charges brought against any single person or group of people based on what they've found.
Fraud is a legal term of art. Now, waste? Sure.
Yeah.
Duplicated jobs? Yes. But just going in and saying, like, all you guys are fired. Those are real people, and they are American people. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, when you... You know, look, this kind of gets into the courtroom thing we were just talking about. If you are doing something on behalf of the United States government or you work in the United States government and you use the term fraud, you better produce fraud.
Better back it up.
Don't just use terms that you know will fire up the people that agree with you so that they're like, see, see, because fraud is a crime. It is an absolutely prosecutable crime. And if you're finding actual fraud, then why are we not seeing any charges being brought?
And for example... did you know that Washington University right here in St. Louis gets the second most amount of federal grants in the whole country? Yes. Like $683 million that they're going to lose almost all of. Now, we can debate whether an institution with, what, $20, $30, $40 billion in its endowment needs any federal money, but these are the kind of cuts that they're making, and that hits very close to home.
Well, here's the part about this that's fascinating. So a lot of what's being cut are things that these universities are doing, researching projects, say, for the military, or they're researching things that can help the government implement certain policies. So this has happened at Northwestern. It happened, I forget which, it might have been Cornell or Penn, but specifically the programs that were going to be cut were programs that were studying things that can help the U.S. military. So that's waste now?
Right.
We're trying to innovate so that the military has whatever it is, the best technology, the best information, whatever it ends up being.
I get it. If you're studying whether porpoises can be gay, like, okay, that seems kind of silly. But if you're working on military projects or disease, Alzheimer's, things like that, maybe, you know, take a couple breaths before you cut that.
Well, in the spirit of not saying things unless you can prove them, Dave Portnoy says he regrets Barstool Sports' role in the vicious rumor that an Ole Miss student says ruined her life. Wheels talked about this last week. A college freshman, Mary Kate Cornett, says her life has been ruined after a false rumor was spread about her and her boyfriend's father. Dave Portnoy has issued an apology expressing regrets. I just wonder... For Barstool's part in the problem, I just wonder, would you be issuing this apology if you weren't getting sued?
No. And he better be getting ready to write a fat check, too.
Well, he also shouldn't be saying anything, which, let me just be fair and balanced, I hate Portnoy. And I hate him mostly out of jealousy, because he's much more successful than me, and I don't think he's that talented. But I will give him credit. Making that admission is a terrible admission against interest. If I were his lawyer, I would be having kittens right now. But what he said, because I watched it, what he said was, whether it was legally wrong, I don't know, but it was morally wrong. Mm. And I applaud him as a human for doing that.
Oh, that is nice.
Well, he also might already be in talks about settling.
Sure.
I mean, he may already know what the number's going to be.
And it could be completely performative that he thinks that's going to, save him a few million dollars.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to see how ESPN handles this, too, because it was really the big patient zero, essentially, was Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
And Pat McAfee technically is not an ESPN employee, but they air his show on their airwaves, which makes them partially responsible. So you got those two parties involved, and everything after that was kind of like the bar stools and other sites kind of taking what was put out on ESPN by Pat McAfee and running with it.
Yeah.
And again, I don't understand in sports why we need to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, I understand there are things that impact someone's draft prospects that are not necessarily between the lines, but like, who cares? First of all, you should verify that it's true. There should be some kind of step-by-step. You're like, somebody tells you this, you're like, oh, really? So how do I know this? How do I go to the air with this knowing that it's true? Then on top of that, you have the argument, even if you found out it's true, should you be talking about the sex life of an 18-year-old college student on your TV show?
Yeah.
I mean, like, those are two parts to it, right? I mean, first, you should verify that it's not just a rumor being spread by someone who's mad at someone else. Secondly, then you have the conversation, is this even worth going on the air with, even if it's provably true?
What I really hate to see is when nobodies turn into somebodies because they do something stupid and asinine and hurtful and get attention, and then they come out smelling like a rose.
Yeah.
That's what I really have a real distaste for that.
Yeah. And I mean, there's nothing that's going to take back what the young woman has had to go through as far as being mocked and ridiculed on campus, and the whole country knows who she is. And even if now you're finding out it's not true, it's still how people are going to associate mm-hmm. you. I hope she gets to be ridiculously wealthy out of this.
Yeah, she will.
Let's do one more story here before we go to break. The Oscars are adding a new award. After many years of calls for Oscars to recognize the art of the stunt, the Film Academy has decided to give it an official award in the 100th Academy Awards, which will recognize films released in 2027. They will be doing Achievement in Stunt Design Oscars. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Flashback Friday, Rach?
Oh, yes. I would love to do Flashback Friday.
Oh, yes.
I'm also just kind of jamming to this. I haven't heard this song in a while. And
yeah.
It's an underrated Rolling
Stones
song.
How I try to pick them. I like people to go like, oh, man, yeah, right on.
Nice. 55 years ago in 1970, the Beatles' Let It Be hit number one on the singles chart and stayed there for just 2 weeks. You would think
really?
It'd be longer.
2 weeks. Okay, so every Saturday we had a matinee at the local Roxana Theater, and you would buy season tickets and you'd go see Disney movies and things like that. You know, we're like 9, 10 years old. And one Saturday it was Let It Be. And I was the only kid that wasn't just bored to death. I loved it. I just burped. And every single other kid was just like, what the hell is going on right now? Who are these long-haired hippies?
Okay, get this. 45 years ago in 1980, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission issued regulations specifically prohibiting sexual harassment.
So 1980.
Prior to 1980, we didn't have any rules.
Which is cool.
That.
Yeah, just up to you guys. You know, whatever your company says.
We'd rather you not do it, but.
44 years ago in 1981, Eddie Van Halen married Valerie Bertinelli.
How about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
42 years ago in 1983, Up Where We Belong from An Officer and a Gentleman won the Oscar for Best Song.
Good, this is a good tune.
Oh, I hate that one. Dude, so
I mean,
much.
Like, it's not my jam, but, you know, Joe Cocker.
He's great. Like, yeah. Old school, like, 60s. He's great.
Great movie, too.
Let's do...
Officer and Gentleman?
Oh, the movie. Yeah.
37 years ago in 1988, I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing won the Oscar for Best Original Song.
Now I'm with you on that one.
And 25 years ago in the year 2000, Britney Spears released Oops, I Did It Again. It reached number one on the pop charts. I just listened to this song last night because I was listening to Britney on my way home.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Were you big into Britney?
I wasn't. I was not allowed to listen to Britney Spears, but... whenever I was able to do it. It was always like,
Sneak
do you
it.
Like Britney and NSYNC or do you like Christina and the Backstreet Boys? And I was always into Britney and NSYNC because she was dating Justin Timberlake from NSYNC. So obviously you pair those
Which one? Okay,
together.
So that seems like a Beatles and Rolling Stones. Beatles were the poppy, Rolling Stones were the bad boys. Which of those were the bad girls?
I feel like Christina was the bad girl out of the two because she had like her song Dirty and it was dirty.
It
was dirty.
You know?
Christina.
Let's do one more. 1 year ago in 2024, Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter was released.
Boy, she's taking a lot of flack for being too dirty.
Yeah, yeah, I think she gets picked on. Of all the pop princesses out there, I think it's just because she had like this Disney reputation that people get so upset, but she's not doing anything everyone else isn't doing.